Hello! In this video, I'm going to be outlining the definitive Mario timeline. The internet is awash with spurious theories, essentially incorrect efforts to outline what the definitive Mario timeline is. So, without further ado, I'm going to set the record straight. Are you ready? Strap in. So, the general outline of the contents of this video are as follows. First, I'm going to have a little note on canon, that is Nintendo canon, the official Mario canon. Second, I'm going to have a little note on Donkey Kong. Third, I'm going to outline the basics of what I'm calling macro timeline theory, as against what you'll see in a lot of places like Reddit and many other lesser YouTube channels, micro timeline theory. Then I'm going to outline the definitive Mario timeline. Then I'm going to show you the order of Mario's jobs in the employment era using logic and facts. Then I'm going to answer a question that so many people get wrong. How does Mario enter the Mushroom Kingdom? Then, there's going to be quite a lengthy little section where, you know, after I've given you the definitive Mario timeline, I'm going to show you some tricky games to place in that timeline. Then, I'm going to combat an idiotic fan theory that there are two Marios. And finally, I'm going to combat a second idiotic fan theory that the events of Super Mario Bros. 3 did not take place. Are you ready? I hope you're sitting comfortably. Let's go. So first, a note on the canon. What I'm calling canon are only sources of information that the games themselves offer, or their instruction manuals, their official instruction manuals. There's usually a little box on the first page which has story. Those are the only valid sources of information when it comes to Nintendo canon. Nothing established in any of the movies, neither the recent animated movie, the old Bob Hoskins one, any of the DIC cartoons, old Captain Lou Albano, stuff in magazines and comics and, you know, rogue PC games and websites. None of that stuff is canon. It has to be in a game released for an official Nintendo system. It has to be, and if it's not in that game, it has to be in the instruction manual. Those are the rules. Do not argue. Finally, nothing that Miyamoto says in interviews matters in the slightest. Miyamoto has given lots of interviews over many, many years. He frequently changes mind. He frequently just talks absolute rubbish. He contradicts himself. The only thing that he's ever said that we will take as gospel, which is not established in the games, and this is important, ladies and gentlemen, is that Mario's age at the time of Super Mario Brothers, the very first one in 1985, is 24. This is accepted widely as a fact. I've seen it repeated in many places. It is not in any of the games. It's only from the word of Miyamoto. This is my one concession to the creator. Other than that, as Roland Barthes said, the author is dead. Next, a little note on Donkey Kong. Throughout what follows, I assume, as basic knowledge of any self-respecting gamer, that everybody knows that the original Donkey Kong is Cranky Kong, as seen in the Donkey Kong Country games, that his son is Donkey Kong Jr., as seen in Donkey Kong Jr. back in 1982, and in turn, that the current Donkey Kong, the one who you play in Donkey Kong Country, and the one that you see in most subsequent games as Donkey Kong, like if you pick up Mario Kart now, the Donkey Kong in there will be this Donkey Kong, aka Donkey Kong III, is Donkey Kong Jr.'s son. There is the lineage, it's not difficult. Now, while this is nearly unanimously accepted, owing to some occasional errors in manuals and, you know, certain other sources, some people dispute it and they get it wrong. Some people say things like, actually, Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong's father. And I'm ignoring all of that debate. It's a nonsense debate. This is the correct lineage. Donkey Kong Sr., Donkey Kong Jr., Donkey Kong the Third. No arguments. Let us move forward. The micro versus the macro. So, Mario has appeared in over 200 games. Fans run into problems when they start trying foolishly to put all of these 200 games in order. And this foolish endeavour is what I'm calling micro timeline theory. If you try to do this, if you try to get all 200 games that Mario's appeared in, and you try to order them from 1 to 200, or it's actually more than 200 if you really want to get specific, you're going to run into problems. You're going to end up making stupid diagrams like the one in the screenshot here. Nonsense. Macro timeline theory, devised by me, simplifies everything. It divides Mario's life into four distinct periods, which all games can be categorized into. And once you see this, you won't unsee it, and it will make it super simple. You'll understand all of Mario lore forever. You can thank me in the comments. You can say, Academic Agent, thank you. You have resolved this great problem in the world of gaming lore. Within these four periods, one can discern the logical orders for games, but it is mostly unnecessary to do this, save for a couple of tricky little cases, and I will clear those up later on in the video. All right, now, the thing that most of you will have come here for is this. This is the definitive timeline. There are four distinct eras. Have a look at them. You're going to learn these. I'm going to drill these into you, and by the time you leave this video, you will speak in the way that I speak about Mario lore. The first era here, on the left, we can call the infant era. As babies, Mario and Luigi were delivered to the wrong parents by a muddled stork. But then, they were delivered to the right parents, who were Italian immigrants living in the Mushroom Kingdom. Mario grew up in the Mushroom Kingdom. This is all established in the Yoshi's Island games. Second, we might call this the employment era. At some point, Mario's parents moved to Brooklyn, aka New Donk City, where Mario and Luigi worked many odd jobs, including carpentry and plumbing. During this time, he dated Pauline, who was kidnapped by Donkey Kong. Mario saved her, and then, sometime after that, one day, Mario hears the Mushroom Kingdom, his former home, is in peril and sets out to save it. Third, and we might call this the adventure era. Once back in the Mushroom Kingdom, Mario goes on an adventure to save Princess Peach from Bowser and becomes a great hero known across the world. He goes on many further adventures as a result. Bowser then goes on to kidnap the princess a further 15 or 16 or even 18 times, depending on, you know, which games you want to include. Fourth, at some point, Mario's adventures end. He makes peace with his old rivals such as Bowser, Wario, and Donkey Kong. Since he is world famous, he is invited to take part in many events. He becomes, among other things, a world-class tennis player. He spends time with old friends and rivals playing party games, sports of all kinds, racing, and most importantly of all, staging plays of his old adventures. He also opens a toy factory and a theme park, suggesting that at this time, Mario is extremely wealthy. And some people say it's because of all the coins he collected, others just because he was a world-famous hero. And essentially, that is it. That is the definitive timeline. If you can simplify all this information down, the infant era, the employment era, the adventure era, the party era, 1, 2, 3, 4, infant era, employment era, adventure era, party era. Now, if you've just come to understand what the timeline is, You can probably just close the video now and leave. There's a lot more information coming down the road, but this is the basics. This is the definitive timeline. Infant era, employment era, adventure era, party era. I want you to stop what you're doing right now and repeat after me. Infant era, employment era, adventure era, party era, party era. Now, if you're kind of stuck, let's say you've got one of the 200 Mario games and you want to fix them into one of the eras, here are a couple of little things you can look out for. In the infant era, Mario is a baby. That kind of gives away that it's the infant era. In the employment era, there will be no elements of the Mushroom Kingdom present at all. None of the Mushroom Kingdom characters, no Princess Peach, no Toad, no Yoshi. In the employment era, Mario is living back in Brooklyn, in New Donk City. So you don't see all those other elements. The question mark blocks, the pipes and so on. That is the employment era. In the adventure era, 9 times out of 10, Mario will be fighting Bowser. There are a couple of exceptions which I'll go on to in the further kind of in-depth, detailed part of the video. But for all intents and purposes, if Mario's on an adventure and he's fighting Bowser, it is taking place in the adventure era. And then, finally, in the party era, and I would say that of the 200 games, probably more than half of them, if not two-thirds of them, take place in the party era. In the party era, Mario is at peace with Bowser. You know, he'll be playing golf with him, or he'll be having friendly races with him, or, you know, they'll be chilling out and putting on plays. Wario will be present. More on that later. Princess Daisy will be present in the party era. Now, they don't have to be present, but those are good clues that you're in the late party era. All right, and if that's all you've come for, if you're like a casual, if you don't want super in-depth information, you can leave now. Class dismissed. Get out of here. Go on. Toodaloo. But for the rest of you who really want some of the meat, strap in, because there's lots more to get your teeth stuck into here. Kind of, I've got the macro. This is the skeleton. Now we can start adding some of the micro onto it. There will be questions that come up for the Mario aficionado, and I hope to answer those questions. Don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to give it a go. First, there is the question of the order of Mario's jobs in the employment era. That is, in those games within the employment era, how do we think about like what's early and what's late in that employment era? Okay. Contrary to popular perception, Mario is not a plumber. This is only one of several jobs he performed in his early years. The myth of Mario being a plumber was perpetuated mainly by the DIC cartoons and especially the Super Mario Bros. Super Show starring Captain Lou Albano. In fact, the only game in which Mario is explicitly and specifically talked about as a plumber is Mario Bros. Back in 1983, the one that you see in the screenshot there. That is the only game in which Mario is definitively a plumber. Now, of all of his other jobs, and he's had a lot, logic can be used to determine the order of those jobs. By ordering them, ranking them, that is, by average wages, and I've used current market rates and current US dollars, but I'm sure if you adjusted these from 1980 or 1979, you'd get pretty much the same order because, you know, the sorts of things that determine wages tend not to change that much. They fluctuate a little bit, but they don't change that much. So what I've done here is I've got the median wages, the average wages for a new recruit. Mario's first job was as a recruit in the army. Not a lot of people know this. In the 1983 Game & Watch title, Mario's Bombs Away. There's Mario, and clearly he's taking part in what appears to be the Vietnam War, judging by the, he's clearly training. Looks like something I'd seen from Full Metal Jacket or something, the wage for a private, E1, that's a new recruit, is just under 20 grand. And it stands to reason, and this is the logic I'm using, that Mario would not leave a job like this for a wage cut. He's always going to go for a higher wage. So I am assuming that Mario, the young Mario, was logical in his choice of jobs, that he wouldn't leave one job to get less pay. He'd always leave to get more pay. Which brings us on to his second job, which was working in a cement factory. The wage for a cement factory worker is about 31k. And there is another Game & Watch title from 1983, Mario's Cement Factory. Next, he goes and works in a bottling factory as a bottling line operator with his brother Luigi. That's in the Game & Watch title Mario Bros. From back in 1983. And as you can see, bottling line operator earns about 35k. Now, I know I said that I would not be taking any information extraneous to the games. I'm just using real-world prices and assuming that prices within the Mushroom Kingdom will kind of mirror the real world in all sorts of ways, and there's no actual reason to believe that that would not be the case. I would say that a bottling line operator is probably going to earn more than the cement factory worker, you know, wherever you are. That brings us to the next job, which was working in a demolition crew, in a wrecking crew, from back in 1985. The wage for demolition crew is 42k. And there he is, Mario, working on the wrecking crew. And the next job is now in the NES and the arcade title Mario Bros. From 1983. Where he is a plumber. This is the job that everybody thinks Mario is famous for. Actually, just in this one game, wage for a plumber is 58.5k. That means that, according to my timeline, Mario's final job before entering the adventure era was as a carpenter in Donkey Kong, all the way back in 1981. And the wage for a carpenter is 61.5k. Okay, now I can see a lot of people thinking, hold on, dude in the video, that can't be right. His last job before going to the Mushroom Kingdom must have been a plumber, right? Actually, you're wrong. And I'm going to show you, using more facts and logic. How does Mario enter the Mushroom Kingdom? Due to much misinformation perpetrated by the DIC cartoons and the Super Mario Bros. Super Show, many people assume that Mario, while still a plumber, accidentally fell down a pipe in Brooklyn and ended up in the Mushroom Kingdom. This is false. I believe that the new movie, which I still haven't... I've only actually seen 3 minutes of the new movie, and this is the 3 minutes I saw. This also perpetuated this myth. So in the public consciousness, everybody thinks that this is the way that Mario went into the Mushroom Kingdom. Not true. Fake news. The original Super Mario Bros. In 1985, in the instruction manual, clearly states that Mario set off to save the Mushroom Kingdom. It says, Mario, the hero of the story, brackets, maybe, hears about the Mushroom people's plight and sets out on a quest to free the Mushroom Princess from the evil Koopa and restore the fallen kingdom of the Mushroom people. You are Mario. It's up to you to save the Mushroom people from the black magic of the Koopa. And if you actually go up there, you'll see the notice that Princess Toadstool is the daughter of the Mushroom King. I'm going to make a later video where I establish 100 Mario facts about Mario lore, 100 Mario lore facts with no theory, and one of those facts is going to be the existence of the Mushroom King, which is established in this little box here. But you can see that Mario didn't accidentally fall down a pipe. We know he grew up in the Mushroom Kingdom. He heard that the Mushroom Kingdom was in trouble. He set off deliberately to save the Mushroom Kingdom. And this is actually established in an actual game, which is in the 1994 version of Donkey Kong, typically known online as Donkey Kong 94 for the Game Boy Color. Well, this game depicts the exact moment that Mario went back to the Mushroom Kingdom and his then-girlfriend, Pauline, you can see her there in the screenshot, gives him a mushroom before he embarks on his adventure. And you can see the pipe and the question mark blocks there clearly confirm that this is the Mushroom Kingdom. This confirms that Mario's final job before the adventure era was as a carpenter, because in that Donkey Kong game, which is basically a greatly extended remake of the original Donkey Kong, Mario's defeats Donkey Kong and then directly after that hops down the pipe after Pauline gives him a mushroom. That is the official version of how Mario entered the Mushroom Kingdom, and to my knowledge, the only time that this has actually been dealt with in any game of any description. So, let's move on. Here are some tricky games to place in the definitive timeline. Remember, we've got the Infant Era, the Employment Era, the Adventure Era, the Party Era. And I'm going to now go through, in order, some of the really difficult games that you may come across, and you may wonder, well, where am I going to place these? So first up, of course, the game on everybody's lips, Donkey Kong Circus from 1984, and it's an obscure Game & Watch title. Now, this game actually, believe it or not, comes up quite a bit if you go down the Mario lore rabbit hole, and all sorts of misinformation is spread about this particular game, which I'm going to get into. Although it was released after Donkey Kong 1981, the storyline of this game actually provides a rationale for the original Donkey Kong, that is Cranky Kong's, hatred of Mario. So, in fact, Donkey Kong Circus is a prequel that then justifies what happens in the original Donkey Kong. In it, Mario, already at this time a carpenter, visits the circus and unintentionally laughs at Donkey Kong. The internet is full of claims that Mario captured Donkey Kong and forced him to perform in the circus against his will. But there is absolutely zero, and I mean zero, evidence for this. The sole story, all of the lore, is provided on the back of the box. I will read it. Donkey Kong juggles pineapples while balancing on a barrel. Catch the pineapples, but beware of the fireballs falling from the drums. Mario watches his juggling performance. Doesn't say that Mario captured Donkey Kong. Doesn't say that Donkey Kong is there against his will. Just that Mario happens to be there. Donkey Kong kidnaps Pauline in Donkey Kong, the original one from 1981, in revenge for the perceived slight of Mario laughing at him here. Then Mario captures him and puts him in a cage as punishment for kidnapping his girlfriend in Donkey Kong Jr. from 1982. That is the sequence of events, and it's pretty clear, I would say. Next, we have another difficult game that's, where do we place Dr. Mario? You know, in all of those different eras, I mean, when did Mario become a doctor? Well, this is what the instruction manual says. It says, "Hi everybody, I'm Mario. How's it going? Over the last few years, I've been involved in some pretty wild adventures. Now, believe it or not, I work in the virus research lab at the Mushroom Kingdom Hospital. Today, I'm about to begin my research as usual." So, clearly, at some point, Mario becomes a doctor. And, by process of elimination, we can work out that this, of course, has to take place in the party era. After his adventures have finished. He says, I've been involved in some adventures, but now those adventures are over and I become a doctor. Clearly, at this time, the Mushroom Kingdom is battling a pandemic and, Mario had some medical training. So, like we said, he did a lot of things in the party era, and one of those things is that at some point he becomes a doctor. Probably not big enough to make like the medical era. I would just say this takes place within the party era in general. But if you like, you could say, well, Dr. Mario's right at the end of the timeline. This is like what Mario ends up doing when he's in his 40s or 50s or something. Another very difficult set of games to fit into the timelines are the Super Mario Land, the original one for the Game Boy, and Super Mario Land 2, the 6 golden coins. The instruction manual of Super Mario Land 2 establishes that Mario has a castle on his own private island called Mario Land. And let me just read what the instruction manual says. It says, "While I was away crusading against the mystery alien Tatanja in Sarsara Land, which is the setting of Super Mario Land 1, an evil creep took over my castle and put the people of Mario Land under his control with a magic spell. This intruder goes by the name of Wario. He has been jealous of my popularity ever since we were boys and has tried to steal my castle many times. It seems he has succeeded this time. Wario has scattered the 6 golden coins from my castle all over Mario Land. These golden coins are guarded by those under Wario's spell. Without these coins, we can't get into the castle to deal with Wario. We must collect the 6 coins to attack Wario in the castle and save everybody." So what on earth is going on here? Mario, we thought, lives in the Mushroom Kingdom. In many, many games, we see Mario living in quite a humble house. So what's this castle? How does he have his own private island? Questions to be asked. It is clear that these games take place in the Mario Party era, and we can discern that by Mario's apparent wealth. But, I mean, we never see this castle again. What is this castle, and what is Mario Land? And it turns out that deep in the lore, there is an explanation. The mystery of Mario's castle is solved in the game Mario Party 2 from 1999, which I believe came out for the N64. This game reveals that the Mario Land from Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, is in fact a theme park that Mario and his friends built. And the game opens with Toad here putting on a stage play where they show the making of Mario Land and the fact that Mario called it Mario Land. And then Wario enters and says, "Actually, I want it to be called Wario Land." And a fight ensues over the struggle of what should the land be called. Hence, the Mario Party. Now, these details that I am outlining here reveal two facts about Wario. The first is that Wario must have grown up in the Mushroom Kingdom to have known Mario as a boy in the infant era, which is reiterated in Yoshi's Island DS, and there is indeed baby Wario. So we know for a fact that Wario and Mario were childhood friends and rivals. We also can work out, given his appearance in all of the party games and the instruction manual details about Mario's castle in Mario Land 2, that Wario only re-enters Mario's life in the party era. And there are some interesting other things that you can glean from this. So, for example, that means that Waluigi is also exclusive to the party era. And in his case, famously, Waluigi does not appear in any of the mainline games. He is an exclusive character in all of the sports games and the racing games and the party games. I think his first appearance is in Mario Tennis or something like that. Don't quote me on that. Yeah, Waluigi, if he's in a game, you know you're in the party era. But also if Wario is in the game, I think it's a pretty safe clue you're in the party era. But also that means something else. If you remember, I said that Super Mario Land, the first one from 1989, is in the party era. That means that Princess Daisy is also exclusive to the party era. They don't know Princess Daisy in the Adventure Times. That's why she doesn't really crop up in any of those mainline Mario Adventure games. She exclusively turns up in the party games, the racing games, and indeed in Mario Land 1 and 2. Now, another really interesting anomaly in the various timelines is the original Super Mario Kart from back in 1992. This is the only game after the employment era in which Donkey Kong Jr. appears without either his father or his son. And it stands to reason, therefore, that despite being a quote-unquote party game, Super Mario Kart actually takes place in the adventure era, which also explains the absence of Wario, Waluigi, and Princess Daisy, who are nowhere to be seen in this game, but are in most of the subsequent games after this point. Also after this point, Donkey Kong Jr. disappears and is replaced by his son, the current Donkey Kong in most games. So I would say that Super Mario Kart, the original one, takes place in the adventure era. This may seem a little bit pedantic, but hey, you chose to watch this video. Next is this title here, NES Open Tournament Golf. Given what I've just said about Princess Daisy and Donkey Kong Jr., what on earth is going on here? Because this is a very early kind of party title, I guess you could say, NES Open Tournament Golf, and Luigi in this game appears with Princess Daisy as his caddy. Very interesting, wouldn't you say? Well, also interesting is that Donkey Kong Jr. appears in this game as an accountant. It is not made explicit, but it is much more likely to be Jr. than his father, because we very rarely see the Cranky Kong in his kind of younger days, kind of speaking like a normal person, whereas Donkey Kong Jr. is a lot more reasonable. And the actual graphic there looks a lot more like Donkey Kong Jr., I think you'd agree. So I think it's pretty clear that this is Donkey Kong Jr. as the accountant in NES Open Tournament Golf. Since this game was released 3 years before the current Donkey Kong, which was, of course, created in Donkey Kong Country, which came out in 1994, we must conclude that this game right here, because of the inclusion of Daisy and of Donkey Kong Jr., but the absence of Donkey Kong III, this has to take place right at the start of the party era. If I was to sequence all of the games within all of the eras, if I was to do my own version of the micro timeline, I would place NES Open Tournament Golf as possibly the very first of the party era games. Along with Super Mario Land from 1989 would be the first of the party era games. Then possibly this, then Super Mario Land 2 with Wario. And like I said, I think Super Mario Kart takes place somewhere in the adventure era. I hope you can follow the logic of all of these and why this matters if you really care about this topic. Moving on, and there's another Game & Watch title that I often see on lazy video game journalist websites, on lazy Nintendo lore theorist threads and so on, where they list the fact that Mario was a juggler along with all of his other jobs. It's very clear that Mario the Juggler, which was a late Game & Watch title released in 1991, takes place in the Mushroom Kingdom, and it must take place therefore in the adventure era. And I would say that juggler cannot be counted as one of Mario's jobs. I don't think Mario was being paid to be a juggler here. I think he was just practicing juggling with a Hammer Brother and a Lakitu hanging out for fun. It's very obvious that this is just Mario having a bit of downtime between his adventures in the adventure era. Okay, it's not a job. When I listed all the jobs that he had at the start of this stream, the juggler is not one of them. Speaking of jobs, another very interesting game is Wrecking Crew 98, which came out in 1998. This game also takes place in the adventure era, and it clearly takes place in the Mushroom Kingdom, because Bowser is present and It's just very explicit that Mario was living in the Mushroom Kingdom. The plot of this game sees Mario picking up his old wrecking hammer because Bowser has started a massive construction project that is blocking out the sunlight and killing all the flowers. And I'm not making this up. You can go and play the game, and it starts with a long cut sequence where flowers are dying because of Bowser's construction project. Also along the way, Mario encounters his old boss, Foreman Spike, who has been contracted, apparently, by Bowser. So here's an example of a character, Foreman Spike, who used to be living in Brooklyn, who somehow like followed Mario to the Mushroom Kingdom. But yes, Wrecking Crew 98 takes place in the adventure era. It's made very, very clear. And how do we know that this is adventure era as opposed to party era? Because Bowser and Mario are at odds. They're not friendly. That is always, if Bowser and Mario are enemies, and they're very clearly enemies in this game, it is adventure era. If they're on friendly terms, if they're cooperating, if they're playing sports with each other, it's in the party era. Speaking of the party era, here is another late appearance by Donkey Kong Jr. in Mario Tennis for the N64. To my knowledge, this marks the only time that Donkey Kong Jr. appears with his son, that is Donkey Kong III, to my knowledge, in any game whatsoever. Donkey Kong Jr. is basically absent in all of the Donkey Kong Country games. And so I would say that because Donkey Kong Jr. basically disappears, after this appearance, I don't think Donkey Kong Jr. appears as a playable character, I don't think ever again. I mean, don't quote me. I mean, he may be like a download unlockable or something in one of the very recent Switch games, but I don't think so. I think Donkey Kong Jr. falls off the roster, which means that at some point in the timeline, I don't know if Donkey Kong Jr. dies or what happens to him, but basically he disappears after this game. As a result, you have to therefore put Mario Tennis very early in the party era. Remember I was saying, you know, Super Mario Land and the sequel. I then put, NES Open Tournament Golf. Maybe Mario Tennis was like the next game after that, if you're going to get like super detailed about this. And that is because of the disappearance of Donkey Kong Jr. Another rather difficult set of games to place are the modern remakes in the Game & Watch Gallery series, which were made for the Game Boy Color and the Game Boy Advance in the late 90s and the early 2000s. In these games, you can basically play old Game & Watch titles, and you can play them in their original graphics, or you can play them in souped-up modern versions, which look a little bit like this on the right. And as you can see, Bowser appears, and Mario and Luigi and Yoshi and Wario appears in these games. And they see Bowser and Mario seem to be on semi-friendly terms. And I would say that these games are taking place, therefore, in the party era, and they seem to be reenactments or reimaginings of Mario's early jobs. I get the impression that Mario and his friends like to put on stage plays, as we've seen. They like to, have fun. And that's what I think they're doing here. They're kind of, you know, now rich, kind of millionaire Mario, kicking back with his buddies, being like, oh, remember that time when we worked in the concrete factory, Luigi? You know, should we recreate that? And that's basically what's happening in these Game & Watch Gallery games. Another rather difficult set of games to think about are the Mario vs. Donkey Kong series. These are difficult to think about because a lot of the action kind of looks a lot like the old Donkey Kong. And it's got Donkey Kong versus Mario. So on the face, and Pauline is present. So on the face of it, a kind of casual fan may think that they're looking at an early Mario title. You know, that this is taking place in the employment era, in other words. However, if you look at the details of the plots of these games, that is clearly not the case. In these games, Mario opens something called the Mario Toy Company. You can see the headquarters there on the screen grab. And clearly, he could only do that once he's rich and successful. Okay, he opens this toy company. Donkey Kong is sitting at home. He sees an advertisement for the toys on television. He really wants the toys. But then when he goes out to buy them, he finds that they're sold out. Sees Red, goes on a rampage, stealing all the toys he can from Mario's factory. Clearly, Mario is not all right with this, and therefore the game. Okay. Later, Mario has made enough money from selling these toys, you know, trading on his global celebrity as he is in within the lore of the games. And he opens a theme park called Super Mini Mario World. Now, if you're paying attention, this is the second theme park that Mario has opened, the first one being Mario Land, right? Clearly, this is something that Mario wanted to do. He wanted his own theme park. And because this one seems to be much bigger than the Mario Land one, I would say that these games have to take place sometime after Super Mario Land 2, the 6 golden coins. That makes sense. So anyway, he opens this theme park called the Super Mini Mario World. They do a giveaway for free toys, and they give, if you're one of the first 100 guests, you get a free toy. Donkey Kong, again, sees the advert, goes along, just so happens to be the 101st guest, and lo and behold, he misses out on the free toy, goes crazy, kidnaps Pauline, who has been a VIP guest at the opening of the theme park, and therefore the game. Given Mario's wealth and Donkey Kong's age, these games all take place in the party era, and as I said, if we say Super Mario Land 2 is early in the Mario Party era and Dr. Mario is late in the Mario Party era, this is somewhere in the middle. This is like what Mario's up to in his late 30s or something like that. Okay? That brings the question of Super Mario Odyssey, which it was a big comeback for Pauline. She'd been in all those Mario vs. Donkey Kong games, and you can quite clearly see she's wearing the same red dress that you see in the Mario vs. Donkey Kong games. And as I mentioned, she is a VIP guest in those games, okay? Now, given the fact that she's treated as a VIP, given that she's wearing the same clothes, notably she doesn't wear the pantsuit, but she does wear the red dress, I think it's reasonable to suggest that Pauline is already the mayor of New Donk City in those Mario vs. Donkey Kong games. Now, given that Bowser and Mario are still on bad terms, I would say that this game, Super Mario Odyssey, must take place in the adventure era. And assuming that the mayors of New Donk can only serve 2 consecutive 4-year terms, which is the case in New York City in the real world on which New Donk is clearly based, Pauline must start her time as mayor late in the adventure era, which then extends into the party era. And if, as I'm suggesting, the Mario vs. Donkey Kong games are in the middle of the party era, Super Mario Odyssey must be fairly late in the adventure era. Okay, I hope you're following along with notes, friends. Okay, so those are all of the tricky and problematic games. I now want to get into combating idiotic fan theories. So the first, and I would say most pernicious of the idiotic fan theories, is this idea that there are 2 Marios. This is the idiotic theory. In Yoshi's Island DS, which came out in 2006, we see for the first time baby Donkey Kong. And this is a baby version of the current Donkey Kong, aka Donkey Kong III. And, as we've talked about, the Donkey Kong Country games established that the original Donkey Kong is Cranky Kong, and that the current Donkey Kong is his grandson, making Donkey Kong Jr. his father. Okay, I talked about that right at the start. Now, since Mario and Donkey Kong III are the same age, therefore, the Mario we see in the original Donkey Kong must be an older Mario, possibly Mario's father or even his grandfather. So goes the theory. The trouble is, that theory is wrong, and I'm going to explain why. The trouble with the theory is that it's based on the premise that the Donkey Kong we see in Yoshi's Island is the current Donkey Kong, not Cranky Kong. Whereas I think there's quite a lot of evidence to suggest that Baby DK is in fact the original Donkey Kong. How do I say this? Well, if you have a look at graphics of the Donkey Kong 94 game that came out, he is clearly wearing a tie that is similar to the bib that the baby wears. You see the red DK tie in Donkey Kong 94, worn by Cranky Kong, similar to the red bib that is worn by Baby Donkey Kong. And this game, Donkey Kong 94, clearly shows Donkey Kong, Cranky Kong, that is, the original Donkey Kong Senior, if you want, with Donkey Kong Jr., who appears in this game as a younger ape. So therefore, the Donkey Kong in Donkey Kong 94 is very clearly Cranky Kong. Also, this game came out 5 months before Donkey Kong Country, before Donkey Kong III was even imagined by Rare. Okay, so I think it's pretty clear that there's, you know, strong evidence to suggest that this Donkey Kong, Cranky Kong, did wear the red tie. And who knows, he may have given this to his grandson, or he may still be wearing it. It's difficult to say because his white beard kind of, if you have a look at Cranky Kong, his white beard covers up where his tie would be, so we don't know if he still wears it. Now, conspiracy theorists on Reddit and so on argue that Baby Donkey Kong can't be Cranky, because Cranky says at one point in one of the Donkey Kong Country games that Mario is his archenemy, and therefore from that they discern that they'd never work together as they do in Yoshi's Island DS. But this is quite clearly false. Here you can see the claim made on one of the Mario Lore websites. It says, Rare's website has stated that Cranky considers Mario to be his archenemy in the same way present Donkey Kong considers King K. Rool his archenemy, implying that Cranky and Mario would never work together and never will. But that's wrong, because this game, Donkey Kong Hockey, which came out on the Game & Watch in 1984, clearly shows Mario and the original Donkey Kong playing hockey together. So that's false, isn't it? That's fake news. So this is more grist to the mill, I think, that the original Donkey Kong is in fact baby that we see in Yoshi's Island DS. But this raises some questions. I mean, if you use any common sense, they're not questions, but still they're questions I see come up. Some people will say, so if Mario and Cranky Kong are the same age, how come Cranky Kong is so old? And I think that is very easily answered by consulting Google. At what age are gorillas fully grown? Oh, look at that. They're fully grown by around 12 years old. Turns out they live to about 40 or 50. That is the average age of a gorilla. So if a gorilla gets up to 40 or 50 years old, then, you know, they'd be around the, in gorilla years, they'd be kind of Cranky Kong age, right? Second question that may come up is, well, what about Donkey Kong III then? How come he's an adult while Mario is still young? Well, again, we can just work out at what possible age could Donkey Kong Jr. have reproduced? You know, we can kind of guess what age Donkey Kong Jr. would be in the original 1982 game. But have a look at this. Males reach sexual maturity around 11 to 13 years. Okay, so we can kind of say, well, maybe Donkey Kong Jr. was an early starter, right? And therefore, we can use these stats about gorillas to resolve the so-called mystery of Donkey Kong aging. And I've worked it all out for you here. Check this out. In the infant era, we know that Donkey Kong Jr. and Donkey Kong III were not born. Mario and Cranky Kong were less than 1 year old, right? Because the Mario that we see in Yoshi's Island is a newborn, dropped by the stork. So the babies we see are really, you know, they're newborns. Next, in the employment era, We can probably figure out that Mario has to be at least 18 or he wouldn't be working. Okay. I don't know what the earliest age is. You can be a recruit in the army. Maybe you can join it. Can you enlist at 16? But let's just call it 18 for the sake of argument. And therefore, we know that Mario and Cranky Kong are the same age. 18. Therefore, the gorilla, the Donkey Kong we see in the original Donkey Kong in 1981 is around 18 years old. And Mario in that game is around 18 years old, let's say. I mean, it depends on how long you give each of the jobs. Do you remember I went through all of the jobs? I said the carpentry job was later, so you can just wind these on a bit. So let's say Mario's a carpenter by the age of 23, for example. That means that the Cranky Kong that we see in the original Donkey Kong is 23 years old. Okay, you can just wind these on or wind them back at will. And I would estimate the Donkey Kong Jr. we see in the games is about 7 years old in the employment era. Again, you can wind that on a couple of years or wind it back a couple of years, depending on where exactly you place Donkey Kong in the employment era. I place it late, to be honest, because, as I said, Donkey Kong 94 establishes that Mario enters the pipe straight after defeating Donkey Kong, which means that the carpentry job has to be his last one. Donkey Kong III, still not born at that time, which I think is a pretty safe assumption. Then, moving into the adventure era, we know from Miyamoto that at the time of Super Mario Bros. 1, back in 1985, Mario was 24 years old. And we can use that benchmark number to say that right at the start of the adventure era, Mario is 24. That means, because we know that the Cranky Kong and Mario are the same age, he is 24. We can wind on Donkey Kong Jr. to being 13. So when we see Donkey Kong Jr. in the original Super Mario Kart, for example, or when he's the accountant in NES Open Golf, or so in those two games, we can say that Donkey Kong Jr. has reached full maturity. He's at least 13 years old, which is a fully grown gorilla by that point. And you can actually see that he's visibly bigger as that Donkey Kong, as the Donkey Kong that we see in the employment era. Then Donkey Kong III must have been born already. So let's just say that Donkey Kong Jr. start, like, he's a very early starter and reproduces when he's 11. That would mean that by the time he's 13, Donkey Kong III is 2 years old. Okay. Now, we know that Donkey Kong Jr. has to live long enough to have at least one game of doubles tennis with his son, where they're both fully grown, as we saw. And I think that happens right at the start of the party era, when Donkey Kong Jr. is 22 and Donkey Kong III is 11. That would be like 11 years old. That would be a young male gorilla, pretty much fully grown. And as we see them in Mario Tennis 2000, they're around that age. You can wind it on a couple of years if you want, but they're around that sort of age, okay, in Mario Tennis 2000. Mario, by this point, is probably about 33 years old at the start of the party era. And then, as we've talked about, you know, right at the start of the party era, we've got Super Mario Land, we've got Super Mario Land 2, we've got Mario Tennis, we've got, you know, we've got the NES Open Golf. Let's say he's 33 in those games. By the time of, you know, he's building the theme parks in the Mario vs. Donkey Kong games, let's say he's closer to being 40. And that would be mean that Donkey Kong III was fully mature as we see him in those games, okay? And then if you wind it on again, probably by the time he's in his mid-40s, that's when he's Dr. Mario. If I was to kind of, you know, speculate. Not necessary. I think it's, you know, for most people, you would say, well, it all takes place in the party era. But if you really want to sequence it, I think that's the sequence that makes sense. And then I've kind of put a question mark here, but we see Cranky Kong when he's old. And like I said, gorillas die, they live to be 40 to 50 years old. So a 45-year-old gorilla would be old. And that's, I think, where we see Cranky Kong at the age of 45 in Donkey Kong Country. Donkey Kong Jr. is unseen in those games, but he'd have been about 34. And therefore, Donkey Kong III, as we see him in Donkey Kong Country, is probably around 23 years old. And I think that this is a timeline that makes sense. I think it's based on facts, and I think it's based on evidence, and I think it's based on logic. All right, so let's now deal with idiotic fan theory number two. And that is this idea. You can see I've taken this from some, you know, Reddit post or fan site or whatever, that the events of Super Mario Bros. 3 did not take place. Now, this is the idiotic theory stated. There is a curtain at the start of Super Mario Bros. 3. True. Furthermore, the platforms are bolted on like a set. True. Also, at the end of each stage, it looks like you're running off a set. True. Miyamoto, in interviews, has confirmed that the entire game is indeed a stage play. True. Therefore, and this is the failure of logic, friends, the events of Super Mario Bros. 3 did not actually take place. Wrong. This theory is wrong. The instruction manual, Super Mario World, clearly states that the events of the game happened directly after the events of Super Mario Bros. 3. I will read. After saving the Mushroom Kingdom from Bowser and the rest of the Koopas in Super Mario 3, Mario and Luigi needed to recuperate from their adventures. Together they agreed that the best place to vacation was the magical place called Dinosaur Land. Categorical proof that the events of Mario 3 did indeed take place. So then, how did Mario get Bowser to take part in his stage play? You know, we clearly see Bowser happily playing along in this stage play, and we know Bowser and Mario are enemies. Well, this is very easily resolved by the definitive timeline. While the actual events of Super Mario Bros. 3 take place in the adventure era, that is, the events as they actually took place, the reenactment that we watch in Super Mario Bros. 3 takes place in the party era. And how do we know that this is very likely what happened? Because we very often see Mario and his friends reenact other adventures in the Mario Party games, and we see them retell stories in the Paper Mario games. So we know that this is something that Mario and his friends like to do. That was the definitive timeline. I hope you enjoyed it. There shall be no arguments. If you'd like to leave a comment, just say thank you for clearing it all up. A future video of mine is going to be called Top 100 Mario Lore Facts with No Theory, where I will list 100 little known details about the Mario lore that you probably missed because you don't pay attention. Like, for example, the fact that there's a Mushroom King. All right, so long for now. Get out.